Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Can't touch this. Can't touch this. Can't touch this. Can't touch this. My
music hits me so hard, makes me say, oh my Lord, thank you for blessing me. What am I to ride and to hike me? It feels good.
More than 125 U.S. aircraft participated in this mission, including B-2 stealth bombers, multiple flights of fourth and fifth generation fighters, dozens and dozens of air refueling tankers, a guided missile submarine, and a full array of intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance aircraft, as well as hundreds of maintenance and operational professionals.
This is Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Daniel Kane. Raisin Kane, apparently, is that's what Trump calls him. I don't have any reason to think otherwise. What will we do if Iran attacks back or retaliates, which at the moment has not yet happened, unless something has changed imminently, but so far, nothing.
Our forces remain on high alert and are fully postured to respond to any Iranian retaliation or proxy attacks, which would be an incredibly poor choice. We will defend ourselves. The safety of our service members and civilians remains our highest priority.
You know, I thought it was I really did love by the way, thanks for the music, John. MC Hammer for Midnight Hammer, Operation Midnight Hammer. Well done. So, yeah, pretty precise operation. You get a couple of B-2s flying over to Guam, distracting everybody, and then you send a couple of B-2s the other direction, and nobody saw nothing. Literally, nobody saw nothing. You know, Tomahawks here, F-35s there, hypersonics. And then all of a sudden, we got three nuclear sites completely devastated. Battle damage assessment coming, but, you know, looks very likely, of course. And I thought the message was clear, but I love the way General Kane said it.
This operation was designed to severely degrade Iran's nuclear weapons infrastructure. It was planned and executed across multiple domains and theaters with coordination that reflects our ability to project power globally with speed and precision at the time and place of our nation's choosing. This was a highly classified mission with very few people in Washington knowing the timing or nature of this plan.
Yeah, the secrecy of it was as amazing as anything else. Of course, following on the Israeli attacks on various defensive capabilities by Iran and controlling the skies over Iran, I thought Pete Hegseth put it, you know, I like the way he said it. It was basically a message to make them realize, oh, man, we're not safe.
The scope and scale of what occurred last night would take the breath away of almost any American if you had an opportunity to watch it in real time. And I think Tehran is certainly calculating the reality that planes flew from the middle of America and Missouri overnight, completely undetected, over three of their most highly sensitive sites, and we were able to destroy nuclear capabilities. And our boys in those bombers are on their way home right now. We believe that'll have a clear psychological impact on how they view the future. And we certainly hope they take the path of negotiated peace.
They should be shook. The clear psychological impact of what the United States was able to pull off from the middle of Missouri to the middle of Iran in one direct flight, 18 hours, multiple refuelings, layered attack, flawless. I mean, genuinely flawless. Now, there's a lot of conversation, the controversy. You know, the Democrats are upset because he did this without a specific authorization from Congress. My read is he doesn't need it. The justification here is the question. Of course, that came up, I thought, quite a bit and effectively so yesterday when you had on, you know, this had all been announced, obviously, Saturday night. And then Sunday morning, you had the press conference going on with the Pentagon, where you had the general, chairman of Joint Chiefs, and then you also had Pete Hegseth talking about the operation. Meanwhile, we got some Sunday shows to do, you know, so they're doing the Sunday shows at the same time as the, or just barely after, as the same time as the Pentagon briefing was going on. So there's a little bit of a, you know, dueling nature. But Marco Rubio, Secretary of State, was on with Margaret Brennan on Meet the Press, and I thought there was a lot of very interesting stuff that came out of that. We'll get to that in just a second. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. Just seeing some minor delays on Highway 29 southbound or right around the 10-mile road intersection. Other than that, we are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
The late 1940s saw the Blue Angels move their home base from NAS Jacksonville to NAS Corpus Christi and finally to Whiting Field outside Pensacola. By the end of the decade, the Blue Angels had expanded their team to 6 aircraft and made the transition to the jet age, trading in their propeller-driven Bearcats for Grumman's new jet, the F-9F Panther. Flying jets allowed the Blue Angels to fly even tighter formations because there was no prop wash or engine torque to contend with, as there was on propeller-driven craft. The first show in these new jets was at NAS Pensacola in August of 1949. 51 shows were performed in 1949, the last being in Mobile to commemorate the grand opening of the new Bates Field Municipal Airport. The 1950 season had 22 shows, including season openers at NAS Pensacola and Whiting Field. But the season was cut short by the conflict in Korea. The Navy was in need of qualified fighter pilots, and in June of 1950, the Blue Angels were ordered deactivated and into active combat duty status. After a farewell performance for the home base Pensacola community, the Blue Angels headed west, stopping briefly for their final air show in Dallas. Off Korea, the team formed the nucleus of Fighter Squadron 191 aboard the aircraft carrier USS Princeton. The squadron was nicknamed Satan's Kittens, and their squadron insignia was designed by none other than Walt Disney himself. Their primary mission was to provide close air support and reconnaissance missions. The leader of the Blue Angels, Lieutenant Commander Johnny Magda, was shot down and killed off North Korea's northeast coast on March 8, 1951. Later that same year, the Chief of Naval Operations saw a recurring need for a flight demonstration team and ordered the Blue Angels reactivated. The team's stated mission was to demonstrate precision techniques of naval aviation to Navy personnel and, if directed, to the public. Lieutenant Commander Butch Voris, the team's original leader, was called upon to reorganize the flight demonstration team, this time returning their home base to the Naval Air Advanced Training Command at NAS Corpus Christi. Two pilots who were with the Blue Angels just prior to the Korean conflict were selected as part of the new 6-man team. The first public showing of the new Blue Angels was at the Memphis Mid-South Navy Festival on June 19, 1952. Also in 1952, the Blue Angels flew their first joint air show with the newly formed Air Force Thunderbirds. I'll be back with more after this.
Summer's heating up, and so is the menu at Sonny's Barbecue. This is Eldon with Sonny's. Sink your teeth into delicious competition-style St. Louis ribs, smoked to perfection and ready for a standing ovation. Or try the new barbecue slider sampler. 3 bold sandwiches and 1 happy belly. Feeling a little tangy? Grab the Tennessee Vinegar pulled pork sandwich. It's got a zip that you won't soon forget. Don't forget to save room for the strawberry corn cakes. They're sweet, seasonal, and only for summer. Visit sunnysbarbecue.com for the location nearest you.
Witness an ejection at supersonic speed and see the Blue Angels move their home base back to Florida. Next time on News Radio's History of the Blue Angels.
Splash Magazine covers the coast like the Gulf of Mexico. Each month, Splash Magazine offers a calendar of events, plus tips on where to shop, dine, and play. Learn about the month's special events, live entertainment, and interesting local people. Learn how to catch fish with Captain Dave Yelverton. See what is worth watching on your streaming services. Tom Nolan will tell you the latest. Get the most out of the Emerald Coast by reading Splash Magazine each month. For more information, call Gulf Breeze News at 850-932-8986 or visit GulfBreezeNews.com online.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services. Advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
All of your local news and talk from dependable host Andrew McKay on your morning drive with Pensacola Morning News 5 to 9 on News Radio 92.3.
Oh, that's a lot better than we usually do.
All right, chums, up.
Ready, guys?
Let's do this. Leroy Jenkins!
Hi there. I'm on my way, I'm making it.
I love watching your face. Hello, because you're like...
What is that? Oh.
Oh, I know, and I go, oh.
And David the same way. David, like, had his headphones off. He's like, I'm missing it. I'm missing it. He's playing the Leroy Jenkins clip. And I know there's two kinds of people listening right now. There are some that are like, oh. And there's some like, what?
Huh?
What just happened? All right. Here's the story. I'll let everybody in on the gig. In 2005, some guys wanted to get more people to be on their World of Warcraft server. And so they came up with this idea. Let's put up a video and hope it goes viral. And let's sit around planning this attack. And it's like a 30% chance of success. We're all probably going to die. And then one guy's like, Leroy Jenkins! And he runs in and everybody dies. And it was meant to generate interest in their clan. Well, it did. 25 million views later, it's a massively viral video. The hilarious thing is it crashed their server. They couldn't get any, but he couldn't even play his own game on his own server. Tried to merchandise it. That didn't work. I mean, like, nothing worked out for this guy. And so you have this legendary, you know, Leroy Jenkins, as soon as somebody's doing something really stupid. And I love that both of you knew what that was. I did not know what this was until somewhat recently. The post that made me learn this, I'd seen the reference a bunch of times but didn't know what it was to. And I saw a post over the weekend prior to the attack that showed the airspace of Iran with all of the flights all around the perimeter.
You I must saw have seen this too.
All around the perimeter. And then there's like one plane over Tehran. And the caption was Leroy Jenkins.
That's hilarious.
Oh my God. We went to go karts at Splash City over the weekend. Mm-hmm. And I got my 16 year old and I passed him and I yelled that at him. And he looked at me like, how do you know that?
How do you know?
All right, David Wayne is in the news. After all of that long explanation, David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
And suddenly, in his eyes, Leroy Jenkins wasn't a cool reference anymore.
That's a lot better than we usually do.
All right, chums up.
Ready, guys?
Let's do this. Leroy Jenkins!
Never know what's going to pop up here.
Yes, right.
Well, Tesla has now started limited operations of its self-driving taxi service in Austin, Texas. That service began on Sunday. It was available only to select guests as vehicles were restricted to certain streets. It was an invitation-only test of that service. Iran promising retaliation for U.S. strikes on key nuclear facilities. Tehran has also continued to launch drones and missiles at Israel, as Israel also has continued attacks, bombing a number of airports in Iran. And here's kind of an odd thing to go along with the tensions in the Middle East right now. The WWE is watching the situation. Apparently, they were scheduled to do two shows this Friday and Saturday in Saudi Arabia. So they're currently planning extra caution right now because, of course, Iran has said every American citizen in the Middle East could potentially be a target. But as of now, the two shows are still on.
I just don't think of, you know, Saudi Arabia as the wrestling showcase capital of the world. It's a weird mix for me in my head. I'm trying to mix these things together.
Their government has that, I don't know what they called it or whatever, but the government thing that was investing in all the sports leagues.
They've got the golf league and all that stuff.
And apparently they've paid billions of dollars to have WWE come over and do all these shows in Riyadh.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
And they're all sold out.
I'm sure.
That's the thing.
Like, you would think it's probably, I mean, you know, if you're going to put that much money into it, it's probably got some justification for it. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 623 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Lots of discussion, of course, about Iran, about the attack, about the justification for it. I thought that Pete Hegseth actually, I mean, Marco Rubio's conversation we'll bring to you in just a few minutes. But I thought Marco Rubio's, Pete Hegseth's conversation, the last question he was asked at the Pentagon press briefing yesterday. Well, here, this is his answer.
Concerning the justification for these strikes, in March, the Office of the Director of National Intelligence released their threat assessment, concluding, quote, Iran is not building a nuclear weapon, and Khamenei has not authorized the nuclear programs he suspended in 2003, unquote. So what new intelligence does the U.S. have since then that the Iranians have changed their position on nuclear weapons? And does this new intelligence come from U.S. sources and methods, or are we getting this information from other countries?
And that's, by the way, that's a good question.
That's a solid question. I mean, that he may not answer the question, but that's a solid question.
Well, I would just simply say that the president's made it very clear. He's looked at all of this, all of the intelligence, all of the information, and come to the conclusion that the Iranian nuclear program is a threat, and was willing to take this precision operation to neutralize that threat in order to advance American national interests, reduce the Iranian nuclear program, and obviously collective self-defense of ourselves and our allies. So he looked at all of it, understood the nature of the threat, and took bold action I think the American people would expect in a commander-in-chief.
And that is not an answer. But it's okay. I mean, the non-answers on this subject, this is actually a very interesting question of, you know, the assessment from the DNI was that they were not on the verge of having a bomb and that they were not imminently a danger because of that. And if you believe that Israel diminished their capacity through their airstrikes, why would we then feel the need? What would be the justification to go in and bomb them? If A, they weren't an imminent threat since March, at least, and B, they were less of a threat Saturday morning than they were even a couple of months ago, why the need to go in? That's a fair question. And the answer has been a little nebulous. Like I said, I thought Marco Rubio got into that fairly well with Margaret Brennan yesterday. But John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
No accidents report. I-10, I-110 are looking good. Still seeing some delays on Highway 29 southbound. Right around East 10 Mile Road. But other than that, the roads are flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
All right. So I mentioned, John, thanks so much for that. I mentioned that Marco Rubio and Margaret Brennan got into a little bit about this. And, you know, he had kind of made the comment about them having nuclear ambition.
So this mission was a very precise mission. It had three objectives, three nuclear sites. It was not an attack on Iran. It was not an attack on the Iranian people. This wasn't a regime change move. This was designed to degrade and or destroy three nuclear sites related to their nuclear weaponization ambitions, and that was delivered on yesterday. What happens next will now depend on what Iran chooses to do next. If they choose the path of diplomacy, we're ready. We can do a deal that's good for them, the Iranian people, and good for the world. Yeah. If they choose another route, then there'll be consequences for that.
Nuclear weaponization ambitions. That's the key phrase, because that's not nuclear weaponization capability. That's not nuclear weaponization. That's nuclear weaponization ambition, a hope and a dream. And they were well over the line. I mean, they were definitely over where they should have been, but they were not yet there. That's basically the question. So she's going to ask about this.
Let me follow up on a phrase you just word, weaponization ambitions. Are you saying there that the United States did not see intelligence that the Supreme Leader had ordered weaponization?
That's irrelevant. I see that question being asked on the media. That's an irrelevant question.
No,
they have
that
everything
is the
they
key point in U.S. intelligence assessments. You know
no,
that.
No, it's not.
Yes, it was.
No, it's
that
not.
The political
no,
decision
no, I know,
had
well,
not
I know
been
that
made.
Better than you know that, and I know that that's not the case.
But
you
I'm asking
you
whether the order was
about.
Given.
And the people who say that. It doesn't matter if the order was given. They have everything they need to build nuclear weapons. Why would you bury things in a mountain 300 feet under the ground?
Right.
Why do they have 60% enriched uranium? You don't need 60% enriched uranium. The only countries in the world that have uranium at 60% are countries that have nuclear weapons.
Right.
Because it can quickly make it 90. They have all the elements. They have. Why do they have a space program? Is Iran going to go to the moon? No. They're trying to build an ICBM.
No, but
so
that's
they can
a question.
One day put
a that's
warhead
a question.
I love Margaret Brennan trying to debate intelligence with Marco Rubio. It's so ugly. Anyway,
that's a question of intent, and you know, in the intelligence assessment, that it was that Iran wanted to be a threshold
how
state
do you know
and
what
use
the intelligence
this
assessment
leverage.
Says.
How do you know what the intelligence assessment says?
I love
talking
it.
Talking about the public March assessment, and that's why I was asking you if you know something
well,
more
that,
from
but
March.
That's also
if
an accurate representation
given.
Of it. That's an accurate representation of it. That's not how intelligence is read. That's not how intelligence is used. Here's what the whole world knows. Forget about intelligence. What the IAEA knows. They are enriching uranium well beyond anything you need for a civil nuclear program. So why would you enrich uranium at 60%?
Right.
If you don't intend to one day use it to take it to 90 and build a weapon?
Right.
Why are you developing ICBMs? Why do you have 8,000 short-range missiles and 2,000 to 3,000 long mid-range missiles that you continue to develop? Why do you do all these things? They
Understood.
Have everything they need for a nuclear weapon. They
okay.
have the delivery mechanisms. They have the enrichment capability. They have the highly enriched uranium that is stored.
Yes.
That's all we need to see.
Right. Well,
especially
and
in the
so
hands
the
of a regime that's already involved in terrorism and proxies and all kinds of things around. They are the source of all
yes,
instability
and no one's
in the
disputing,
Middle East.
No one's disputing that. I'm not doing that here.
Yeah, but you keep asking the wrong question. The point he's making is we didn't have to wait for them to order the Sprint. They've got all the things they need, and we need to act, and we did act.
And they were censured at the IAEA for that enrichment and for violating their non-proliferation agreement. I was simply asking if we had intelligence that there was an order to weaponize, because you said weaponization ambitions.
Well, we have intelligence that they had everything they need to build a nuclear weapon, and that's more than enough.
Okay.
And that's more than enough. Okay. Next subject.
I'm Giada Gelosi. Israel and Iran continue to trade fire as the world waits to see the ramifications of President Trump's weekend strikes on Iranian nuclear sites. U.S. officials say regime change isn't the goal, but President Trump isn't exactly denying it.
Saying in a Truth Social post, it's not politically correct to use the term regime change, but if the current Iranian regime is unable to make Iran great again, why wouldn't there be a regime change? Niga.
Fox's Madeline Rivera. Tens of millions of people across the Midwest and the East are enduring another sweltering day of dangerously hot temperatures.
Many all-time records will be threatened the next few days, especially along the I-95 corridor, with temperatures and humidity combined making it feel well over 100 degrees.
Fox meteorologist Janice Seen and the Oklahoma City Thunder winning the NBA Finals. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Looks like a beautiful morning. Clear skies right now. We've got 75 degrees. We'll get more in our forecast with meteorologist Brooke Richardson here in just a few minutes. Well, Governor Ron DeSantis has made a new appointment to UWF's Board of Trustees and also reappointed Trustee Adam Kissel to the board. The governor appointed attorney Edward Fleming. He is a founding partner at the McDonald Fleming Law Firm, which serves the Pensacola area, is a commissioner on the First District Court of Appeals Judicial Nominating Commission. That spans from Escambia all the way through the Panhandle to Baker County. And he also serves on the Pensacola State College Board of Trustees. Kissel was appointed to the Board of Trustees back in January. Of course, he went through the confirmation hearings, but was not confirmed by two Senate committees or by the full Senate. Kissel's affiliation with the Heritage Foundation and stances on issues like the GI Bill and privatization of public universities was controversial during those hearings, and he has now also been reappointed by Governor Ron DeSantis. A man who wanted to rent a car is now in custody in Walton County after apparently not wanting to take no for an answer. The sheriff's office announced yesterday that Lonnie Morris from St. Petersburg had been arrested in Dufuniak Springs. Deputies say he wanted to rent a car at the airport in Tampa, but was denied. Allegedly, he found a car that had the keys inside, got in, tailgated another driver out of the parking garage, and was then arrested then in Dufuniak Springs. Morris is charged with grand theft auto. Police in Milton say they've arrested a suspect after a shooting at the Six Flags Shopping Center Friday. That incident was reported about 8 p.m. Friday night. Police say when they arrived, they found a victim that had been shot and recovered a 9mm shell casing. The suspect was identified as 49-year-old Earl Davis, who had reportedly left before police got there, but then was located at the Blackwater Inn. Police say Davis was detained and a 9mm handgun recovered. He is charged with aggravated assault with intent to commit a felony, among other charges. He is being held on $25,000 bond. Governor Ron DeSantis not mincing words when it comes to the weekend airstrikes on Iranian nuclear facilities.
Florida Republican Governor Ron DeSantis telling Fox News that during the Biden administration, Iran was on a surefire path to a nuclear weapon. Thanks to Operation Midnight Hammer, those nuclear ambitions have been cut down to a far-fetched dream.
Well, President Trump's policy has been consistent and correct that Iran cannot have nuclear weapons, and his actions put force behind that policy in a way that I think is going to be very beneficial for the U.S. interests and in the broader world.
The governor adds that while we don't know how or if Iran will respond, efforts to rescue Jewish Americans from the war zone in Israel to Florida will continue. Natalie Rodriguez, Miami.
Thank you very much, Natalie. And it is 6:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly, but still seeing that minor delay on Highway 29 southbound right around East 10 Mile Road. So just be aware of that. But 9 Mile, Highway 90, 98 are all flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 forecast.
We are going to have about a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms today, high near 91 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 76. For Tuesday, 20% chance of rain, high near 93. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 76 degrees. For Wednesday, 30% chance of rain with a high near 93. And by Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 77. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. Right now, we've got partly cloudy skies, and it is 76 degrees. Your next news at 7. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Bitcoin fell to its lowest level since May over the weekend as rising tensions in the Middle East and renewed inflation fears triggered a sharp sell-off across digital assets. Bitcoin dropped below the 99,000 mark on Sunday, its lowest level in more than a month. Treasury yields inched higher this morning after the U.S. bombing of Iran and as investors awaited a batch of key economic data this week. The 10-year yield was more than one basis point higher at 4.387%, and the 30-year yield moved one basis point higher as well to 4.903%. Oil prices are up roughly 1% after the U.S. strike on Iran's nuclear infrastructure over the weekend. West Texas Intermediate is currently sitting at $74.58 per barrel. Brent currently sits at $77.77 per barrel. Futures are slightly lower. Friday, the Dow Industrials lost 35, the NASDAQ down 98, the S&P 500 down 13. Once again, futures are slightly lower. That's Your Money Now.
Are you living with dry AMD? If so, you could be on the road to geographic atrophy, or GA, a condition that leads to retinal cell death and permanent vision loss. But with IZERVAY, you can
slow it down and get it going slower.
IZERVAY slows GA progression by targeting a key source of retinal cell death, which may help preserve your vision longer. IZERVAY, or Avastin Captid Pegol, is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. IZERVAY can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. IZERVAY may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about IZERVAY today.
IZERVAY gets GA going slower.
Visit IZERVAY.com. That's IZERVAY.com. Paid for by Astellas Pharma.
Hi, this is Todd Thompson, President and CEO of the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel for the Chamber Connection Show that will keep you informed on what's going on with your Chamber of Commerce. Tune in this Monday morning at 10 to find out about our upcoming events, all of our different programs, and what's happening with our local business community. It's the Chamber Connection Show every other Monday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Your road to summer adventure starts with outstanding offers on new Subarus from Anderson Subaru. Get 3.9 for 72 on Outbacks and 3.9 for 48 on Foresters, or 2.9 for 48 on Crosstrek. Love is out there this summer. Find it at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Subaru for you, Subaru for you, Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Tune into the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10 when Brittany Hughes from Parks and Recreation will be on the show. She'll be discussing summer camps, where they're located, the cost, and how you can apply for a scholarship for your child to attend. She'll also cover deadlines to register, how to register, and will be available for you to call or text in with your questions during the show.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
News Radio Pensacola has you covered no matter where you are or how you like to listen. Tune into our frequencies on 92.3 FM, 95.3 FM, and AM 1620 for the latest breaking news, local updates, and in-depth analysis. Can't be near a radio? No problem. Stream us live on our website or through our convenient app. Available for download on your mobile device. Plus, with our smart device integration, you can ask your virtual assistant to play News Radio 92.3 and we'll be right there with you. It's News Radio Pensacola.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone. Help. When I was younger, so much younger than today, I never needed anybody's help in any way. But now these days are gone, I'm not so self-assured. Now I find a change of mind and open up the doors.
This mission was not and has not been about regime change. The president authorized a precision operation to neutralize the threats to our national interests posed by the Iranian nuclear program and the collective self-defense of our troops and our ally Israel.
Sunday, my first question, Mr. Vice President, is the United States now at war with Iran?
No, Kristen, we're not at war with Iran. We're at war with Iran's nuclear program.
That's a slice a bit too thin for me. I think J.D. Vance would like to say that we're not at war with Iran, but, I mean, you always have to think about these things in their categories. If somebody had flown, you know, half a dozen bombers over the United States and dropped 14 different massive ordnances on several of our military installations, would we consider that an act of war? Well, of course. it's not a trick question. So, of course we're at war with Iran. I kind of wish he would have said it that way. Well, yeah. But we're hoping the war is also over. We hope it was a one-night war. We want it to be a one-night war. We want them to take their spanking and come to the peace table out of a recognition that we could do this again and worse. And what we want is peace. But, yeah, I mean, of course we went to war with Iran. I mean, it's like we bombed the bleep out of them. Of course we went to war with Iran. So I don't quite get this, you know, parsing that we're at. You can't go to war with a nuclear capability development program. Like, it doesn't, it's, you know, I don't like nonsense, and that's nonsense. I agree with what was done. I support what was done. I believe that it was constitutional. I don't have any problem with any of this. I just don't like it when people give, you know, misleading answers. Of course, you know, Kristen Welker is fantastic at asking the stupidest questions.
Mr. Vice President, let's talk about what happens next. President Trump posted on social media, quote, any retaliation by Iran will be met with force greater than what was witnessed tonight. If Iran retaliates against the U.S. as it is threatening, what will the United States response be?
Oh my God. Just make it stop. She's so bad. So, Mr. Vice President, if Iran does something bad. I don't know what that's going to be, but if they do something bad, what will President Trump do in response? And can you be specific? What do you think he's going to say? I do sometimes wonder, John, you and I were having this conversation off the air. You know, does somebody supply her with the questions?
Right.
And then she's supposed to ask them in a stern tone of voice? Or does she come up with them on her own? And look, you'll notice one of the things that I try to do when I have guests on, I try not to ask them questions they can't answer, okay? Because that makes both of us look stupid. You know? why would you ask him this ridiculous question? Well, if they retaliate, will we retaliate? Have you not watched anything that President Trump has ever said in your entire professional career, what is his most common answer all the time to these kinds of questions? I'm not going to rule anything out. I'm not going to tell you in advance. I mean, even if you could speculate about a specific retaliatory action, well, if they decide to attack the infrastructure in San Francisco with a cyber attack, well, what will you do then, sir? I mean, you know, the Iranians have cyber capability. You know, they have lots of potential things that they could try to do. That's not an irrational thing to speculate that they might try as a response, some kind of, you know, non-kinetic thing. But even then, what's he going to say? Like, this is, there's no, I mean, I'll play his answer, but it's just such a ridiculous question.
Well, Chris, that's ultimately going to be the president's decision. But what we've said to the Iranians is we do not want war with Iran. We actually want peace.
Right.
But we want peace in the context of them not having a nuclear weapons program. And that's exactly what the president accomplished last night. I really think there are two big questions for the Iranians here. Are they going to attack American troops, or are they going to continue with their nuclear weapons program? And if they leave American troops out of it and they decide to give up their nuclear weapons program once and for all, then I think the president has been very clear. We can have a good relationship with the Iranians. We can have a peaceful situation in that region of the world.
Right. And that's it. You can't attack us. You can't have nukes. We would also strongly prefer that you don't use proxy war against Israel. We would strongly prefer that you don't engage in acts of terrorism. But you have shown yourself to be the kind of entity that will do all of the things you're capable of doing. And we can't wait until you make the order. We are preemptively taking out your capability. Although, to be fair, we did not take it out entirely. Everybody's of the belief that they shipped a lot of their 60% enriched uranium out of the site to elsewhere. You know, I was kind of in my brain, what I was thinking of this morning is that, you know, oh, they bombed our facility. And then you've got, like, you know, you send Amir out there with, you know, his petri dish to collect bits of uranium off the mountainside. This one looks like 30%. No, this one looks like 50%. You know, like, what would the bract? Yeah, no, it doesn't really work like that. But still, you know, that was the picture in my head is, send somebody out there to collect the pits, you know? So John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. If you're headed over to East Milton, I'm seeing no delays in that area either. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. So again, J.D. Vance on Meet the Press, sadly being forced to talk to Kristen Welker. Why bother? Anyway, she, you know, they go on. And there's actually, there is a very interesting question coming. I mean, she doesn't ask all the stupid questions. She only asks most of them first. And eventually she's going to get to a question that's actually worth asking, but we'll wade through some of this other stuff first.
Step back a little bit, Kristen, and remind ourselves that we negotiated aggressively with the Iranians to try to find a peaceful settlement to this conflict. It was only when the president decided that the Iranians were not negotiating in good faith that he took this action. Yeah. He didn't take it lightly, but I actually think it provides an opportunity to reset this relationship, reset these negotiations, and get us in a place where Iran can decide not to be a threat to its neighbors, not to be a threat to the United States. And if they're willing to do that, the United States is all ears.
Yeah, I mean, we're looking for a reset. We're not going to send Hillary over there with a reset button like we did to Russia under Obama, but we are looking for a reset, as in, we've taken away their ability to do the nuke. We've warned them what's not allowed. They're already unable to fly missions over their own airspace because Israel controls. And now come negotiate. Let's figure out a peaceful way forward.
I want to say something, Kristen, just to the Iranian leadership. Look, they have tried to build a nuclear weapons program. That program is now destroyed. They tried to build a conventional missile program to attack neighbors in the region. That missile program has shown to be a failure. They have funded terrorism aggressively in the region, and now most of their terrorism proxies are destroyed. The Iranians are clearly not very good at war. Perhaps they should follow President Trump's lead and give peace.
I'm sorry. This is the best line.
The Iranians are clearly not very good at war. Perhaps they should follow President Trump's lead and give peace a chance. If they're serious about it, I guarantee you the president of the United States is too.
I saw a post on Facebook a little while back, and it was not about Iran. It was about, actually my son sent this to me. He's got this snarky mindset. you know, it was about the map of Mexico and America before we controlled all of the Southwest, you know, and the caption was, "Boo, look who's bad at war." I know for being a Christian, but still, that's what it reminded me of when the vice president of the United States says,
"The Iranians are clearly not very good at war."
Okay, anyway, but the worthwhile question, the question worth asking was the question about when was this decision made? Because I have the same question. You know, did Trump make this decision Saturday morning? Obviously not. This took more planning than that. Did he make this decision before Israel began their air campaign? Interesting. Did the United States intend this in conjunction with the Israeli air campaign? As in, was the Israeli air campaign the preparation for this attack? Interesting question. To me, I mean, I don't know why they're being so cagey about this, but they are being very evasive on this question.
Mr. Vice President, when did President Trump exactly make this decision, and did he coordinate with Israel?
That's the right question. It's a good question.
The president, honestly, Kristen, I don't know that any of us knew exactly when the president made the decision, except for the president himself. But if you back up a little bit, we engage in this diplomatic process. I think that he decided probably by mid-May that this process was not going anywhere. And so he decided to issue some private ultimatums to the Iranians. And then eventually, of course, we decided to destroy the Fordo nuclear facility and some of these other facilities ourselves.
It's interesting to me how similar that answer was to the same question answered by Pete Hegseth just about maybe an hour before this when they were doing the Pentagon press briefing.
I would just say, having the opportunity to witness his leadership, he was fully committed to the peace process, wanted a negotiated outcome, gave Iran every single opportunity, and unfortunately was met by stonewalling, which is why he gave them plenty of time to continue to come to the table and give up enrichment, give up the nuclear program. But there was I won't say the particular moment, there was certainly a moment in time where he realized that it had to be a certain action taken in order to minimize the threat to us and our troops.
And again, I'm just not sure why they're being evasive on this question. Maybe it's because they feel like if they say farther back, because, I mean, look, this operation obviously took time to prepare. It seems most likely to me, okay, this is just Andrew McKay speaking without evidence. But, I mean, the evidence we're all aware of. It seems very unlikely to me that, what, Israel launched a massive air campaign against Iran, and then America's like, oh, well, this looks opportune. What seems a lot more plausible to me is, hey, BB, we got an idea. You know how you've been wanting to take out their nukes for forever? Yes, Mr. President. You know, I can't do a Trump at all, and I can barely do a Benjamin Netanyahu. Here's a plan. How about you go in and take out all of the air defenses in Iran, and you control the airspace. And what we're going to do is we're going to send a sub over here, and we're going to send some B-2s over here. We're going to pretend we're going to Guam. We're going to actually going to go over Tehran. We're going to put 125, you know, we're going to do tankers and refueling and F-35s and F-22s, and we're going to launch some hypersonics, and we will take out the nuclear facility. We will do what you have wanted to do for a decade or more, and we will do it, and we will show the world what can be done, because A, we have the munitions, and B, who's going to stop us?
It's a good plan, Mr. President.
You know, like, that's, I mean, isn't that the most likely thing? Doesn't it seem like this was absolutely coordinated with Israel from the beginning? Because the alternative is to believe that, you know, Israel did their thing, and then we're like, oh, well, hey, look at the time. Let's see. Let's go. I don't buy it. So I don't know why they're being cagey like this, except maybe they think that, you know, Congress should have been involved, and they're worried about an inquisition into when Congress was or was not involved and why he didn't consult with them. Maybe that's why. It's just not clear to me. Because otherwise they would say, well, it was Friday at 3 o'clock. I mean, I don't know. They could give that answer. 654 on News Radio 92.3, informative local, dependable. If you need anything done inside your home, complex systems like the air conditioning, the heating, the electrical, the plumbing, you know, these are difficult things that take good professional work to be done, and that's where Peden comes in. They've been doing this for 55 years, all along the Gulf Coast. Their folks show up on time. They do what they're supposed to do. They use the best products. They stand by the work, 100% satisfaction guaranteed to make sure you get exactly what you want in the end, which is these things working properly, which they need to work properly, especially when you're talking about the air conditioning system in the summer. And right now for the month of June, it is starting to get warm. Had you noticed? Ugh. Ugh. We've all noticed. Oh, look, summer is here. $1,000 off a new air conditioning system and special financing available through the month of June. So you got about 7 or 8 days left on that. Some restrictions apply, but you can cool down during June. $1,000 off a new AC system. Give Peden a call. Find out more at Peden, PEADEN.com. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you. Looks like I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. Just seeing some minor delays right around the Highway 29 southbound around East 10 Mile Road. But other than that, traffic is flowing very smoothly this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider. Right now, offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
Every day, you enjoy the freedoms brought to you by the First Amendment. You can speak your mind, wear what you want. You can put a sign on your front lawn that says, "Vote for Bigfoot, someone you can believe in." Pray to the God of your choice, or don't. They're the freedoms that let you be you. All brought to you by the First Amendment. Learn more at freedomforum.org.
This message is sponsored by Freedom Forum and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
Join Teddy Shortell from Affordable Automotive Gulf Breeze for Car Care tomorrow morning at 10:30 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Kenny will be sharing his years of expertise on car maintenance, as well as tips and loads of great advice that'll keep your car running in top shape. Whether foreign or domestic, don't miss Car Care tomorrow at 10:30 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
News Radio 92.3 gets you live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
All righty then.
Anybody for volleyball? 6:57 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. If you have questions about any of this Iran stuff or you want to comment on it, feel free to weigh in. 437-1620. I figure my job this morning is just to give you as much information and perspective on this as I possibly can. And if I miss something or get it wrong, I'm always open. We have so many military folks in this town, active and retired, that you know so much more than I do. And I'm always curious your thoughts on things as well. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Good morning. Israel and Iran continuing to strike each other after the U.S. Dropped bombs on Iran's underground nuclear facilities over the weekend. Iran reportedly has now fired missiles at residential areas in Tel Aviv, while Israel took out more missile launchers in Iran.
The New York Times reports citing three Iranian officials. Ayatollah Ali Khamenei is now in a bunker and has picked replacements in case he's killed. Across the Middle East, the response from Arab countries was largely silent. Many calls for talks, no government offering to fight for Iran.
Richard Engel there from NBC. Iranian state
media? Nobody's like, oh, we're in with Iran. We're here. No.
Not really.
We saw what happened. No, thank you.
Iranian state media is reporting that the country's parliament is supporting closing the Strait of Hormuz. A woman is recovering after being bitten by something in the water off Broward County. Fort Lauderdale Fire Rescue says this woman was swimming in Fort Lauderdale Saturday morning when she was bitten. They think it was a barracuda. She was taken to the hospital with minor injuries.
Okay.
It doesn't sound fun at all.
No.
Quick update here on the Sean Diddy Combs trial. The prosecution is expected to rest their case today.
All right. Thanks.
I told you it'd be quick.
I like that. All right. Yeah, again, it's just this always thing of look at what Israel is targeting in Iran, military strategic sites, rules of warfare, justice of the war, and justice of the warfare. What is Iran targeting? Civilians. That's the story.